One thing that I would even just say now is this. We have here the Word, the Bible, and we have here a hymnal, right? And typically we would carry this to a meeting, let's say. The natural concept is that this hymn is for us to sing, yeah? And this word is for us to read. Well, I'm going to look to the Lord that we would have a revival in the matter of songs. In the matter of songs. And one of the point is this, that the help and the fellowship that we receive from our brother based on his study of the Word, it's the other way. Amen. This hymnal is mainly for speaking. And this word should be for singing. Amen. Did you get this?
Amen.
Did you get this? I don't think you all got it. Let me say it again. We sing the hymns, the songs, and we read the word. Correct? That's or study, right? Whatever.
Right.
Well, according to the Word of God, it should be the other way. We sing the word, and we speak the hymns. And where do you find the proof of this? You find the proof of this in those two sisters' verses in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, and in Colossians 3, 16. Now, I don't have the time to get into this, but I assure you, I have a burden to have more trainings, actually perfecting trainings, to revolutionize our meeting life. In homes, in small groups, in our Lord's table, in our church meetings, that more and more we will learn to speak the hymns. In Ephesians 5 it says, be filled in spirit, speaking, not singing, speaking to one another in psalms, the long psalms, and hymns, the middle-sized hymns, and songs, the short choruses, and spiritual songs, speaking to one another. And then it says singing. Of course, we don't mean we never sing. But the first thing is for speaking. And I tell you, our songs are very suited for speaking. But we relegate this hymn to an unimportant thing. It's just something we sing, get out over with, and get on with business in our meeting. No, I tell you, in the New Testament church, indeed in God's economy, in our worship of God, singing is more important than speaking.
Amen.
The 24 elders sang a new song. On the glassy sea sang a new song. Dear saints, the proper Christian life and church life is filled with songs. A life of being filled in the Spirit is a life of singing. And we don't sing that much. It's a program thing. It's a formula thing. It's a routine thing. And there's so much here. But I come back to my point here. The first thing is to speak this. To speak these hymns one to another. And actually, by speaking these hymns, we're speaking the word. But the word here is for singing. That's in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ inhabit you richly. teaching, admonishing, and what? Singing. And singing. The word of Christ is the song. The word of Christ should be sung.
Amen.
In fact, the best way to remember the word is to remember it in a melody.
Amen.
And that's why I took the lead to start writing some hymns.
Amen.
You know, once I start writing, now I cannot stop.
Amen.
It's almost every day a new idea came to me.
Amen.
And I'm going to start writing.
Amen.
Whether you like to sing it or not,
amen,
I don't care.
Amen.
I am getting the benefit.
Amen.
I am turning, that's why I say each verse is a, each verse of the song is a verse in the Bible.
Amen.
So this is full of truth.
Amen.
And yet it is not just some knowledge, truth in knowledge, but truth in song for us to sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Talking about seeking His face, brothers and sisters, we really, I hope you would have time. You are just there singing to the Lord.
Amen.
Rocking, you know, they say you're rocking.
Amen.
You are singing to the Lord because you're so filled.
Amen.
Within with joy.
Amen.
With praise, with felicity, with feeling. All you can do is utter praise to the Lord. This is so much missing in our church life today. Our meeting life is not where it should be.
Amen.
Our meeting life. I think even you agree with me.
Amen.
All right. We would sing the word and speak the hymns.
Amen.
So I challenge you to write. I'm not the only one. You should write as the Spirit inspires you. Now, with the remaining not that much time because of lunch, I want you to open with me to in your outlines the first two outlines. Of course, I will not be getting into them in a thorough way, but I'd like to just give you as an introduction that you would get into these things on your own. Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Then you would love His word just the same. This word should not collect dust. This word, this Bible, should not be on your shelf. This word should be next to your bed, by your pillow. This word should be in your pocket, in your backpack. Eventually, this word should find its way into your heart of hearts. This is the Lord. This is His face. This is how He tells us of His desire. This reveals His inward parts, His economy, His intention, His purpose. All these things comes from His word. And this tells us by types, by figures, by fulfillment, in reality, who this wonderful Christ is.
Amen.
The very embodiment of the triune God.
Amen.
Brother Lee took two or three verses from Deuteronomy and turned it into the first conference in America. It's called the All-Inclusive Christ. It's just two or three verses in Deuteronomy 8, I think. And the word Christ is not even there. You just say, this land is a land of milk and honey, of hills and valleys. Am I right? Of stones, of bronze, what else? Of these fruits, am I right? Uh, With those three verses, a classic conference was given. It shows us so much about our dear Christ, the beloved of God and the beloved of us. I hope all of us would just treasure the Word of God. I read those things from Psalm 119, how the psalmist treated the attitude, their feeling about the Word. It's like a person to them. It's like a person to them. Now, we're not like some Christians who got too far and they start worshiping the Bible. There are some Christians like that. That's the modern-day Pharisees who search the Scripture as an end in itself. But the Lord is standing in front of them, and the Scripture testify concerning this one, and they rejected this one because they're so taken by the Scriptures. We don't go there. We maintain that the Scripture and the one who gave the Scripture are one and the same. We will never study the Word, come to the Word, without coming to touch His face. And whenever we come into the Lord's presence, we come with His Word in our heart and in our spirit. Let me tell you, the best prayer is a prayer always with the Word in it.
Amen.
Not just your thoughts, not just your thinking. The Word is their dwelling, and it bubble up in the form of prayer. That is real prayer, because according to John 15, he says, "Abide in me, and my words, not me, my words will abide in you. Ask what you will, and it will be done to you by the Father." So we abide in the Lord, and yet, in that verse, it does not say He abides in us. In an early verse, it says that. In this verse, it says, "My words will abide in us." That means the Lord chooses to abide in us in the form of His words.
Amen.
And His words today are spoken, are printed, are here. God has spoken. It's all here. We, therefore, need the Word of Christ to inhabit us. That means to live in us, to abide in us. Then we know how to ask. We know how to ask. And so now with that, I just want to quickly walk us through these two lessons, lesson one and two, in how to handle the Word. And I hope this wonderful practice would be renewed among us. Okay, so we have here the first way to handle the Word of God is, of course, to read it. Dear brothers and sisters, you love the Lord, right? Read the Bible. Read His Word every day. I don't care how much you read or how little you read. Please read the Word.
Amen.
That means you love Him. You know, you love me, and I wrote you a very romantic love letter, and you toss it aside. Do you really love me? You don't. I'm pouring my heart out in that little letter of love to you. You don't even read it. Or you read it like you read the newspaper, the magazine. Any of us who have read love letters or love emails today, I don't know. I mean, you read it like 15 times.
Amen.
Am I right?
Right.
Amen. It's not just a letter from somebody.
Right.
It's from someone you love.
Amen.
Pouring out his or her heart to you.
Amen.
When you read it, you're not just reading a letter.
Right.
Actually, you're touching the person.
Amen. That's right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
That's the same way we should come to his word.
Right.
Then the word, reading of the word will no longer be boring. I know it's a little hard to get through chapter 1 of Matthew. I know it is a little hard to read through the book of Nahum. You don't even know where Nahum is. But you read it because it's not just some history, some stories. It's his face.
Amen.
So last night I gave you the Augustinian quote. For now, treat the word of God, the scriptures of God, as the face of God.
Amen.
Do that, brothers and sisters. Read the word. Many Christians read the Bible more than we do, and that's not right. We should be reading the word. And this is not studying. All right, studying is another point that we'll cover tonight. But this is just plain reading.
Amen.
Okay, I'll be very quick with this. Don't worry, okay? You need to read the scripture reading, of course, a number of verses from Deuteronomy about how God charged Israel and the children of Israel to always keep his word in front of them, wherever they may be, when they're traveling, when they're at home, when they're rising up, they're lying down, the word is always there. Don't think this is too spiritual or this is too crazy. Brothers and sisters, this is a sign you love the Lord and you are a real seeker of him. You have books reading from Joshua, where Joshua said the same thing to Israel as Moses did, that the book of the law would not depart from their mouth. Muse upon it. You know, muse means reflect. It means ruminate. It means meditate. It means consider deeply. We'll see even a more wonderful meaning of muse in the next outline. So this is Joshua. Nehemiah, when they returned from Babylon to rebuild the city and the temple, the first thing was that Nehemiah asked the scribe Ezra to do a public reading of the law and give understanding to the people of the law. This is before they start work. Or while they were doing the construction, they need the word to purify them.
Amen.
To reestablish them. Then we have words on Psalms, right? And we cover that some of these already. Look, in Job 23, it says this: I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my apportioned food. In some translation, it says my necessary food. There's some Christian who coined this saying, no Bible, no breakfast. It's not bad. Not bad. I mean, whether you practice that legally, that's not the point. The point is where the heart is at. What's priority? I'm not sure the Bible, the Word of God, has that transcendent priority in our lives. And what kind of Christians are we? A lot of us, even who have been through the FTTA, you have the class called Trying God and His Word, and you now can speak and all these truths, but you don't read the Bible anymore. You read it once in the training. You don't read it anymore. You're still in the church life, You're still going on, but something is very wrong. Deeply wrong. I question your love for the Lord if you don't read the Bible. If you understand, from this angle, from this perspective. Then you have the verses in Matthew, the most famous verse, man shall not live by bread, on bread alone, physical bread, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. This is God's breath. And we live by it. And the Lord lived by it for 40 days. He replicated Moses. 40 days on the mountain. The Lord 40 days in the wilderness. Didn't eat, didn't drink. God's face was his diet. God's presence was his food. God's word was his bread. Brothers and sisters, this is a normal Christian. I hope there can be a revival of word reading in our midst. Then you have these verses in Ephesians and Timothy, Revelation, and so on. Okay, let's come to this lesson very quickly. Why don't you read Romans 1?
We need to see the importance of reading the Bible.
Okay, God speaking to man today is based upon what he has already spoken in the past. You say, we need God speaking. God spoke already. In a sense, we don't need further speaking. All the further speaking are based on what he has already spoken, contained in this word. Today, all the speaking is just but the interpretation of what God has already spoken in the Son. Even though a person may be quite advanced in his spiritual walk, God's revelation to him will still be confined to the words that he has spoken in the Bible. God speaking today is merely a repetition of his own word. If a person does not know what God has spoken in the past, that's in the Bible, right here, it is difficult for him to receive revelation in the present because he lacks the basis for God speaking. If you don't know the Bible, the Lord cannot speak to you. You say, oh, some visions came. Oh, the angel came. The angel Moroni came. That person didn't really read the Bible. That's why Moroni came to him. Brother Lee could receive so much revelation because he is grounded in the Word of God. He loved the word and he knows the word. And God is able to speak further to him with fresh revelation based on his knowledge of the word. If God wants to speak something to others through us, he will also do it on the basis of what he has spoken in the past. If we do not know what God has said in the past, he cannot speak through us to others, and we are useless in the eyes of God. You need to know the Old Testament. You need to read the New Testament. Otherwise, God cannot speak through you. You're just speaking hot air. You'll be misquoting something. You are saying something God never said. Oftentimes, brothers, read the Old Testament. Even the Old Testament, read it. And read the New Testament. It is based on that God will use you to speak to other people. Whether the gospel, whether it is some kind of teaching and admonition. Four, this is why we need to let the word of Christ, word of God, dwell in us richly. By letting his word dwell in us richly, we know his past ways and his and hear his presence speaking. Only then can God use us to speak to others. You know, today many of our young people hear the high peak. They've never even read the Bible. Do you think their appreciation and understanding of the high peak is really that high? I don't think so. That defies law and principle. You need to read the Bible. I don't care how advanced you are spiritually, you still need to read the Word of God. Just like John Nelson Darby at 80, he still say, "I love you, Lord." At 80, we still need to read the Bible. Amen. The Word of God. Brothers, love the Word. All right? Now, I'm the old school. It's hard for me to read on my device. There's just something wrong about it. I don't think the Word of God is made for digital format. I just don't believe it. It was always written down on paper, on papyrus, on whatever they wrote it on, and read. But whatever, you do whatever. There's just something about turning those pages. Something that does not produce this green light on my face when I pray with it, with the Word. That there's just something to that. I leave it to you. Okay, let's read B together.
I regard reading the Bible to be more important than anything else. We should not consider reading the Bible as a pastime or think that other things are more important. Reading the Bible is indispensable and cannot be put aside.
Therefore, it's not optional for a seeker. If you are not, I have nothing to say. If you are a seeker and a lover of God, it is indispensable. How much and how little is another matter. But you will touch that Word every day. Every day. Because it's bread. It's He Himself. Okay, now we come to Romans 2. What does it say? Please read.
We need to see how to read the Bible.
So here I'm going to jump over this. I ask you to, this afternoon, you just look over this. Very, very helpful. The best way to read the Bible is to read it daily. That's the best way. If you really cannot, you cannot. But the best habit to build up as a Christian is not just to pray daily, not just to call on the Lord daily, but read the Bible daily. All right? So he talked about spiritual nourishment. He talked about physical food that we need to consume daily. Likewise, we should read the Bible daily and to read it like a meal at certain specific times in order for us to remain healthy. Okay, B, it says the morning is the best time to read the Bible. Maybe not for all of us, but it is. In your commute, before you get muddled and with so many things of the daily life, it says here, the best is to read the Bible in the morning when our heart has just wakened, our spirit is clean and quiet, there's no noise, people, events to disturb or worry us, etc. And you say, well, I thought the morning time is firstly to pray the Word. I agree with you. And we'll get on to praying the Word in this lesson too. But find a time every day. I don't care, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We in Irvine have a corporate reading schedule of the church, which go by pages and not by chapters. We just read 2 pages of the Old Testament, our recovery version, and 1 page of the New Testament. You actually can do that in less than 10 minutes. Not in a speedy way, in a good pace, just 10 minutes. It really does not take that much time. But I tell you, those 10 minutes are very rewarding. Your mind is transported from all the junk, all the daily junk, to something clean, something holy, something that is positive. Why, brothers? Why not give some time to the Lord? How much time you spend on Facebook? how much time you spend on social media, how much time you spend on these things, how much time you spend on God's Word before His face. Which is more important? You see, it's time to live what we say. We say we love the Lord, we love this and that. Actually, we don't. We love all this junk. Junk food. That's why we're unhealthy. That's why we're often defiled. That's why we begin to lose heart for the Lord, for the spiritual things. That's why we don't preach the gospel. Yeah, we're Christians, we're in the recovery, but in actuality, our heart is all over the place because of these things bidding us, calling us, occupying our time. I mean, people spend hours to upgrade their Facebook with pictures, and it's going to burn those pictures. What's more worthwhile? What's more memorable? What's eternal? Dear saints, we got it upside down by following the ways of this world. We're different people. And we're proud to say that. The Bible, let the Word of God fill our hearts. Let our hands be full of it. Let our mouth, let our heart, let our spirit be inhabited by His dear Word, which is just His face. See, we should read the books of the Bible sequentially. So this is a very helpful thing. Don't jump all around. If you read, read sequentially. A chapter a day, two chapters a day. You don't need to get into the footnotes. You just read the very text, the pure word. You just read it. So there's some helpful points here. It's really, really not hard. The hard part is just building up the habit. It's not where you start and so forth. Spend too much time. Should I start in the middle? Should I start? I think it's best if you don't have a habit yet, you're about to build or rebuild a habit, just start. Either jump on the church train, I call it, where they are. You just go in there. Don't you say, I didn't read once before. Don't worry. Just go on. Amen. Just go on. Follow the footsteps of the flock. Or you have a burden to start in Matthew, or you start from Jordan in Genesis. Very good. Just do it. Just do it. Build up this lifelong habit to read a portion of the scripture daily. Okay, D, we must not only be spiritual to read the Bible, we must turn our heart to the Lord. Even just this plain reading of the word with no interpretation, no study, still the heart has to be turned. Otherwise, we will be like Moses, right? Like the children of Israel. Because this is the face of God. Amen. Even when you read, your heart has to be turned. Amen. Lord, I'm open your word to read it. I turn my heart to you now. Amen. I stop myself. I get myself out of all the distraction. Amen. Just to spend some moments with you in your word. Amen. In reading the Bible, we should receive inspiration and turn it to prayer. You know, when you're reading, suddenly a word jumps out. You know, I was reading Nahum. I was not making this up. And oh, you know, it's the Edomites, you know, Edomites. What does Edomites have to do with me, you know? But somewhere, a verse stood out. Just somewhere. And suddenly that verse hit me. And for a moment, I stopped. And I just pray a very simple prayer with what I read, with what inspired me. And then I continue to read. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful? F, we should not seek a thorough understanding when reading the Bible. Now, this is not studying. We're going to get into studying. This is just reading. Just plain reading. Okay? Three, please read three. We need to build up a habit of spending a time in the Word. And please read B together, this quote. To live, to have stuff. We must be legal about four things: eating, drinking, breathing, and sleeping. Do you think it is too legal to eat three meals every day? Without such a legality, you will soon be ready for a funeral. In order to live in a healthy way, you must eat, drink, breathe, and sleep. I encourage you to build up a habit of reading the Word daily, preferably in the morning. Make this a legality. You know, these life messages were given after the great first rebellion. Some of us remember that. You know, what did Brother Lee came back to help us? Read the Bible. It's right here. Life messages given at that time. A lifelong habit. Okay, in 4, let's read. 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, until I come, to the exhortation, to the teaching. Here Paul does not refer to reading in the sense of study, but to reading aloud in public, according to the context. This kind of public reading may be for exhortation or teaching. You know, maybe even when you're reading privately in your yard, you know, in your bedroom, read it loud. The word is good for reading out loud. Make it audible. So you don't fall asleep, right? Whatever way it is, dear saints, handle the word this way. Now, come to lesson 2. This is actually a huge one. On top of the 4 outlines that I'm going to give you, we made another 4 outlines. I guarantee you I have 4 outlines that are the tops on the matter of praying with the word. Just praying with the word. This is a huge, huge thing that needs to be re-recovered. Amen. Among us. I dare say many of you have not touched the depths of prayer reading. You have not. You have not. Sorry, I say this. But we're going to get into that. Here is just offering an intro, a taste. Please read Romans 1. The main function of the Bible is to impart God into us as life and as the nourishment of life. But as it is written, whatever we eat of the Bible, we should not merely try to know or understand it, but take something of God's essence into us, just as we take our food. Please go back to study this outline with the help of these verses, these reference verses. Don't just, they're just scripture reading. No, 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 you're missing a great deal. All these verses are key verses. 1 Timothy 4:6 about being nourished with the words of the faith. Jeremiah, your words were found and I did eat them. Eat. And they became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. 1 Peter, as newborn babes desire the guileless, pure milk of the word, that we can grow into salvation. 4:24 about God is spirit, and John 6:3 about the word it being spirit. You have to put those two together. Ephesians 6 about receiving the sword of the spirit. Which spirit is the word of God? In John 6 it says the words are the spirit, the words that I speak. In Ephesians, it says, the Spirit is the Word. Confirming this fact that the Spirit and the Word are identical. Colossians 3, being inhabited by the Word of Christ in a rich way. And then Psalm 119, about musing on the Word. Okay? So better you get into these. Now, A, it says, after we're saved and born again, our most immediate need is that we learn how to take in the Word as spiritual milk and nourishment. B, the way the Lord nourishes his body is by his word. His whole body. You know how does the word nourish his church? The church that he redeemed? The treasure of his heart, his first fruit? By the word. That's the way the Lord nourishes the body of Christ. The word, brothers and sisters. Not by any other way, but by the word. These 2,000 years, the church of God has been nourished by God's word. If we desire to enjoy the Lord and be nourished by the Lord, we must come to the word to taste the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's by tasting the word. See, the Spirit is the very substance of the word of God. I mentioned that last night already. The word of God is black and white, yeah? It's concepts, it's ideas, it's all these things conveyed by the black and white. But deep down, the substance of it, the essence of it, is not even just those concepts, those truth, those realities. It is the Spirit. That conveys, that Spirit is God himself. And so, when you come to the word, you must endeavor to touch its essence. Because when you touch that essence, you touch God. Amen. And that is the ultimate purpose of the word. The ultimate function of the word of God to impart God into us. Okay. D. The word of God must be taken by means of all prayer. The best way to receive the word, to touch the Spirit in the Word is prayer. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, pray the Word of God. Amen. Now, how do we pray the Word of God? We see. Please read Romans 2. We should not simply have not just one way of praying. You know, today, your prayer reading, our prayer reading is just, in him is life. Amen. In him, amen, is life. Amen. In him, amen, is life. Amen. It's not bad. But that is just one way. And by the way, not a deep way. And that's our prevailing common way. I have at least 4 kinds of prayer reading. And this is number one. Just to repeat with an amen. You know, when I am with the Lord pray reading personally, I never do this. It doesn't make sense. Talking to myself, in him, amen. In him, amen. My pray reading doesn't have much amen. My pray reading is mingled with the Lord's name. That's what works for me. Number two, it's not in this kind of cadence-like, staccato way, no. Number three, it's not so short and brief. As we will see, I immerse myself into a state that is into the Spirit. And when I open his word, I'm before his face. The condition is I'm before his face. And when I pray read, quote, quote, pray read, that is a coin that we made, better to say when I pray with the word, I do so in his presence before his face. So it's not a form, it's not a routine, it's not a technique. It's just my contacting the Lord. So, in that, in my kind of prayer reading, is full of a lot of sighing, a lot of groaning, and a lot of calling. Oh Lord, oh Lord Jesus, in him, Lord Jesus, in him was life. And as I do this, not only is my spirit exercised, my renewed mind is also exercised. And of course, my vocal cords are exercised. Not shouting, necessarily, but anyway, audible at least to me. To a person standing next to me, I'm talking to myself. And by the way, that's one meaning of musing, talking to oneself. I'd like you all to have that experience. But to do that, you cannot do it quickly. This is not coffee and donut. This is a meal, a sit-down meal that takes some time. The word to eat in "eat me, he who eats me," in Greek it means masticate. Masticate means chew. It means to grind up the food. Brothers and sisters, I hope. That's why my prayer reading is never three verses. I cannot make three verses. Usually it's one verse or less. Sometimes a couple of words, a phrase, is good enough for 30 minutes. Because it's not about how much I take. It's about how much I assimilate and digest. It's a whole different dimension of coming to the Lord. I hope we can have a revival, a renewal in our coming to the Word in prayer.
Amen.
Once you taste this, you will lose interest in a lot of other things.
Amen.
You have an acquired taste. Okay, number one is what we call prayer reading. And that is turning the words into prayer. This is how you do it is another matter. This is absolutely the highest way to mingle the word with the spirit. And that is to read the Bible with prayer.
Amen.
In the spirit, in the presence of the Lord. Take time. Sometime you need to just, on Saturday when you're not so busy, just take that 30 minutes to have such a session with the Lord.
Amen.
You're not in a hurry. You take your time. Because it even takes time for you to get into the Spirit. To get your mind focused and not wildly running all over the place. Be musing. Okay, now this is fantastic. I like to have a conference just on musing. Rich in meaning. The Hebrew word for muse implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To muse on the word is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering. It is not right that we just pray read only with our spirit. No, I tell you, your mind must be all there. In fact, the rich taste of the word comes from the spirit through your mind in understanding. Where light begins to shine. And that light becomes nourishment. Some of us, after we pray, we don't know what we pray read. You are never fed. You just went through the motions. You never got fed. You never got supply. You just did it. That's why I hate doing morning revival. What are you doing? Tell me. Please tell me, what do you do? And how do you do it? This is what we need. Musing on His Word. And absorbing Him. You know, we have this old hymn, "Take time to behold Him." Do you know that hymn? The whole thing about beholding the Lord's face takes time. So take time. Again, go against this kind of quick, instant culture. It is destroying us. It's destroying our spiritual life. You can be fast with anything, but you cannot be fast with God. He's found by those who are patient, because he's not cheap. Two, prayer, praying to oneself and praising the Lord may be included in musing on the word. To muse on the word is to chew the cud, like the cow, to receive the word of God through much reconsideration. I mean, sometimes you are just in this state beside yourself. You are just in these two words, in him was life. My light shot to shine, fireworks goes off in your being. You just become crazy, you become to say things. Sometimes you start to sing because a chorus comes to your mind. You are just in this kind of this kind of atmosphere, this kind of condition that you don't know where you are. It's called a trance. Have you ever prayed yourself into a trance? If you have not, you don't know what it is to taste the Lord. To this fullness, this rapturous experience of your God. And I tell you, much reconsidering. I tell you, when I pray, read, there's a lot of consideration. And that's how I milk, that's how I suck the word. Usually, musing upon the word will be slower and finer than prayer reading the word. Even, listen, finer than prayer reading. There's another level we have not discovered, that we have not experienced. You pray read, but have you mused on the word of God? All right, we better, it's already 12, so I'll just stop in Romans 2. Musing is even richer, broader, and more inclusive than prayer reading. For it includes prayer, worship, enjoyment, conversation, bowing down, lifting up your hands to receive God's word. It includes rejoicing, praising, shouting, and even weeping before the Lord. Have you wept while you prayed the Lord's word? I have. Because you are just overtaken, overwhelmed at that point by certain aspects of the Lord, whether it's his love, or sometimes maybe it is his dealing, his touching you on certain matters as you pray, read, as you muse. And then see, singing the word. Singing the word. That's a lot to talk about. And D, psalming the word. Psalming the word. These verses were in me, so I turned it into some kind of a hymn, so I can sing it. I can sing it. We actually really need a lot more choruses based on the scripture, so that it is in our memory and we can sing it. Whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Just for example, why not? Why not we have more, just one verse, one chorus, and when we're so inspired, we sing the word. I tell you, what joy. This is heaven on earth. I mean, Christians, if you don't have such a life, how do you live a Christian life? I don't know. Amen. How do you have a strong and overcoming Christian life without such experiences in his presence? And then in D3, let me say, at such times we may worship the Lord, have fellowship with him, and even converse with ourselves in the Lord's presence. We'll finish the rest later on. Amen.
Amen.
What should we do now because of time? Some prayer? I think we have time for some prayer. You know, saints, even when you pray with your neighbor, don't make that a ritual. Just mouth something, look at your clock. When are we going to get out here and get some lunch? Brothers and sisters, your heart, the Lord's face, that's the necessary food. So pray with sincerity. Pray with genuineness. No pretension. All right? Just utter something from your heart to the Lord with someone next to you for a minute. Amen. Amen.